I want to start the meditation with a poem. It's a poem by Mark Nepo called The Lesson. When young, it was the first fall from love. It broke me open the way lightning splits a tree. Repeating. When young, it was the first fall from love. It broke me open the way lightning splits a tree. Then, years later, cancer broke me further. This time it broke me wider, the way a flood carves the banks of a narrow stream. Then, having to leave a 20-year marriage, this broke me the way wind shatters glass. Then, in Africa, it was the anonymous face of a schoolboy beginning his life. This broke me yet again, but this was like hot water melting soap. Each time, I tried to close what had been opened. It was a reflex, natural enough. But the lesson was, of course, the other way, and never closing again. Mark Nepo, The Lesson. Getting comfortable, closing the eyes if you practice with eyes closed. Arriving. Arriving here, arriving when, now, not abruptly, but rather collecting and unifying one's attention. Arrive, arrive. We feel presence. Mindfulness is front and center, and we recognize that indeed we are mindful. Mindful to the point that we are present. We are present where? In this moment. Present when? Just now. Thus, we are mindful in real time, and the time the event is happening is when we are present. This is a general description. The specifics are a little more complicated in Buddhist psychology. At some point, being present gives us this feeling of relatedness, that we are present in a way that we have choice, choice in how we relate, maybe sometimes what we're relating to, other times not. Based on our experience, and all the teachings we've received included, we recognize the wisdom and actually the compassion or protection of aligning with something larger than this mind that is so susceptible to all the impulses of the hindrances. And so we align. We deliberately align. We know we're aligning. We know we have choice. We know we're making choice. We know when we have made choice. This is part of our empowerment, our own sense of momentum, our sense of a there, that can dance with life. You are aligning as you see fit with what you see fit to align with. Wise view, wise intention, Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Your core values, whatever it may be. First, there is the idea to align, then aligning is occurring, and then alignment has occurred. There is now alignment. One is both available and aligned, and one knows one is available and aligned. How does one know? By felt experience. The felt experience. Stay with that felt experience, please. There's no one particular mood or mindset in a narrow use of that word. Sometimes for myself, I feel invigorated. I feel the possible. Other times, I feel vulnerable. Am I worthy? Am I able? But either way, I do know that I'm available. And I'm available in a frame of the Dhamma in a way that heightens, strengthens, deepens, illuminates. This I know, despite my personness having its own experience. Maybe it's the same for you. And so now we turn to this question of the heart. Among all the other mysteries, there's the mystery of receiving and giving love. Being available here and now to take love as the object of our investigation, being mindful, intentionally mindful, mindfully intentioned, compassionately mindfully intentioned regarding more deeply knowing love and its possibilities of recognition, expression, manifesting. Am I willing to be available to love to act from love, to speak from love, to see from love, to hear from love, to be loved by someone hearing me, seeing me, interacting with me, to be in the environment of caring that we call love. So complicated at every stage of our lives. So often we feel clumsy, clueless, separated from, not receiving, not feeling loved, feeling frozen ourselves, not able to love another, or not feeling skilled in expressing or knowing how to love or what is love. And then we get to self-love, caring for ourselves. So complicated. It is my experience that you can be available to love even while being bewildered by exactly what it is, which is very good news. When we use this word in the Dhamma, we're not meaning sentimental love. But rather a deep caring in whatever form of relationship it's occurring in. As long as it is a non-harming relatedness. Available, available. Is there a physicality to this availability? The felt sense of the capacity a prior to an object being loved. Love feels like this at this moment, this capacity, this potential A potential, I argue, is ever present. We are separated from it, not it from us. When young, it is brimming, so involved in our passions, so involved in our feeling okay about ourselves, wanting to feel okay. Later, it may be more nourishing, but still filled with so much of direct, separate relatedness. And then for some, and again, not all, but for some, later still, it's more empty. Not less full by being more empty, but less filled with the personness it is the loveness this loving state rather than the exchange that becomes more available. Love without demand. Love in itself, not as affirmation. So mysterious. Are you available in this moment? Available for love? What is the felt sense? So that in later moments, when you remember this, when you feel the connection, you know what it feels like when you are available. Love and desire so fused together, even different kinds of love. I love our desire for our children to have everything. Can get confused with the love for the children. Desire has so many demands in it. Desire is movement, either movement towards or away from the Vedana of the second foundation of mindfulness. Or indifference. Which is not the same thing as non-attachment. Non-attachment can be so alive, so connecting. Indifference is a kind of not noticed. Not having care for, not having to account for. Non-attachment has dignity and integrity as part of its ground. Movement so often in the untrained mind is towards grasping or towards aversion, towards possession, towards demanding, for clinging, for conditional living. It's just ignorance, just the untrained mind. It's not a description of character. Are you available to know love deeply? To open yourself? To stand the pain of unreciprocated love or love not seen, not appreciated, disrespected, misconstrued? Not easy, this being available for love, available to love. T.S. Eliot captures the paradox so well when he says, desire itself is movement, not in itself desirable. This is the movement of clinging, of aversion. It's unwise, it's dukkha causing. Desire itself is movement, not in itself desirable. Love itself is unmoving, only the cause and end of movement. Love itself is unmoving, only the cause and end of movement. This is the paradox that we live in. We have to navigate, mediate, reconcile the mystery of this. If love is going to be manifest, it is going to have some sort of movement, some sort of availability that would result in movement. And yet, if we grasp, get attached in a way that is clinging, in a way that we won't let go, this is undesirable. So when we are available to love, we are available to this paradox, this dance of the opposites. We don't have to think this way, this subtlety, because we all feel it. I've had hundreds and hundreds of people talk about it. Speaking differently and yet pointing to the same. Love in its many expressions, in friendship and family, kinship, romance, partner, for children, for our community, for nature, for humanity as a whole. For justice, for art and beauty. Sometimes very personal, sometimes not so personal. Are you available? Not how skillful are you? That's a separate question. But are you available? Available to learn? Able to be able to apply the mindfulness to this loving feeling, and able to receive the various experiences with dignity and integrity. I mentioned this morning how important it was to understand that space was empty. So it is with the love space. It is empty. Things are manifested in that space, that capacity. But itself is empty. It's a responsive space. Our beliefs and interpretations are piled on top or outside, gathered around, whatever image works for you. Are you available? In Buddhism, in the monastic tradition, the Buddha is not speaking so much to householder love, but rather the state of mind that is a caring state of mind. And he offers these four ways of relating from the love space. The first is that of metta, of a kind of friendliness towards all, that you are in that love space, that you can have a kindness, a friendliness, a giving of the benefit of doubt, a well-wishing, a wish to uplift, to be part of the uplifting, part of the support for all of those beings. It may start close to home, but then it's ever expanding till, as in the sutta, we're taught radiating love, radiating this metta, this friendliness to those in front, to the right, behind, to the left, above and below, this fountain of caring, of being present for, of being related to, mirroring practice availability. In time, and as we age, we come to experience that even the most close love is most accurately held or most effectively held in more this term. Love is most nearly itself when here and now cease to matter. Most nearly itself, meaning that it's not tainted with our wanting, our contractions, our clinging. Here and now always matter, but matter less than the underlying feeling, the underlying values. Smiling at someone you love and having them not smile back can hurt. But that's not a reason not to smile. Otherwise, it's a transaction of which there is something supposed to be given back. Conditioned-based love, it has a place in our life. And we certainly have to find some sort of environment of caring. But in any given moment, are you available for a feeling of unconditioned love? The second kind of love that the Buddha offers is that of compassionate caring. He termed it the heart's quiver. When we witness suffering, the response is a caring. Metta is not based on conditions of the person or the animals of any kind or the planet. Metta is not conditioned by. It's not a responsive feeling, a responsive availability. It is ever-flowing, evergreen, fountain, flow, water element. Caring is responsive. And there's such challenges on both sides. We can care too much and become part of the suffering. We can become exhausted with caring or indifferent or cynical about this person or all people or all situations. And we are indifferent. So this caring is a balanced mind. It's true on the personal level and on an impersonal level. This necessity again, Eliot, teach us to care and not to care. Teach us to sit still. Such a Buddhist teaching. To care and not to care. Boy, that's courage. Teach us to sit still. Love itself is unmoving. Only the cause and end of movement. Are you available? May I be available? to love. The third kind of loving care that the Buddha offers is that of sympathetic joy. Again, this is responsive, meaning that there are conditions of happiness, of good tidings, just as there's conditions of unhappiness, of pain, despair, fear, so there is of feeling confident, feeling relaxed, feeling thrilled, getting what one wants. And the natural love response to this is joy, that is a sympathetic joy. This sympathetic joy is more hard than it would have first appear. So easy for that joy to be falling into envy or jealousy or some self-reproach that you don't get this, you don't have this, you've screwed up, on and on and on, this voice of accusing, or the not fair voice. And then on the other side, too much identification with. Just as we can want to, we can overly start to bear someone's pain when it's not our pain to bear, and to do that is to actually take away the uniqueness of their experience. So it is with happiness, where we can be too identified. They are actually an extension of us. We're not actually happy for them. We are them in some way. They are us, and therefore we're made happy. It's an identified happiness. So this middle way, once again, even more subtle, is that my understanding, my experience, there's a difference between I am happy because you're part of my tribe, and therefore my tribe is doing good and I'm happy. My children, my friend, you know, my spouse, versus the happiness when it is more removed. It's not that your identification, you're literally happy for them. If you know them, that's easier to be happy, but nonetheless, you learn more and more to be happy for others' happiness if it's coming from wholesome activity and skillful means. And then further still is to experience it as your happiness and not happiness for them, but that you, in fact, are happy, that there is happiness in the world, that there is good tidings in the world. Are you available? And the fourth is this equanimity, this caring that is balanced. Equanimity being so important, because that equanimity is what allows us to not throw ourselves out of balance around when there is suffering and there's the compassion. Equanimity keeps the compassion balanced. It keeps sympathetic joy balanced, and it even keeps metta balanced. So we're not too effusive in our caring, nor do we wander away from, lose touch with this fountain of caring, of friendliness. It is a feeling. So much of the dignity and integrity can be felt right there, that's required for availability in this equanimity. Teach us to care and not to care. Love is most nearly itself. Desire is movement, not in itself desirable. Love itself is unmoving, only the cause and end of movement. That's balance. That's the middle way. Are you available? The inner feeling towards ourselves, needing the metta, needing that friendliness, that uplifting, that caring, the compassion for the difficulty of our journey, no matter its form, the joy when there is this uplifting moments that do occur from outside or inside, interior, internal, external. Keeping our equanimity. Are you available? We each have to make this journey for ourselves. And we're often in what feels like unfamiliar territory. It is staying available in this balanced way that is the means to growth, to development, to practice, to finding what is possible. So often we don't know. We just don't have quite the perspective. Or we don't feel like we thought we would feel. We certainly mean it, but it doesn't have the feeling that we thought that meaning would bring. Or our fatigue is in the way. Or our own woundedness. Our confusion. Kuer, this heart, Kuer, from which courage comes. The courageous heart that's available to the mystery of caring. Are you available? just living this question. Is practice. Just living the question requires dignity and integrity. Sometimes it's that we focus on the outcome. It's another form where we're practicing results rather than practicing practice. And then we get all caught in our opinions, our disappointments, our embarrassment, our frustrations or our fears. So possibly having a more modest aspiration to be available in the not knowing. Knowing that we do care, that we don't know how. But this caring itself is being available. Because we're available to learn, available for it to blossom, for it to take form, to be felt by ourselves or another, for there to be connection, for there to be this kind of connected feeling, this satisfied feeling, this harmony, just available, just available, willing to live the paradox. Willing to live in the mystery of the most mundane kinds of friendness to the most complex, layered. I have sat with so many people in their pain, their confusion, their despair, their hopelessness around love in every form, a father for his kids, a mother for her child who has challenges, a broken-hearted person from a marriage, the death of a child, the not being able to make connection with the person to have a relationship, so one's alone, the loss of a parent who dropped, who will not have contact with the child and not say why, or vice versa. People made other when they thought they were with friends and suddenly they're the other. Ghosted, shunned, exiled. Not for the faint-hearted. This being available. So often confused. Not being able to locate something within. And yet, any amount of caring where it feels that it has somehow landed in ourselves or the other or both, that we're alive with love, that we are mirroring love itself, this force, this empty space. Are you available?